Well, you ever have that experience where you're talking to young kids and they're inquisitive and they're asking you questions and they get maybe two or three or four layers deep into a line of questions and you begin to realize that you really don't know what you're talking about? Has that ever happened to you? They just keep asking questions and you get to the point where you're like, yeah, I don't really know the answer to that why question. Several years ago, my kids, when we were down at the beach, we're looking out at the ocean and toward the evening, and they're like, what's all those blinking lights out there? And I said, well, those are buoys. I said, well, what's a buoy? I said, well, it's something that kind of floats out in the water, and it blinks. And I said, well, what's it for? I said, ships, you know, they need them in some way. Well, why do they need them? At that point, I said, you know, I don't really know. That's about the limit of my knowledge on buoys. But thankfully, we have the ever-knowing and all-present Google for answers to these kinds of questions, so your kids think you're a lot smarter than you actually are. Well, if you happen to look this up in Google, you would find that buoys certainly do have something to do with ships. More specifically, they help mark channels to help ships navigate safely into a harbor so they don't bottom out. I was talking to a sailor after the first service who went into more detail. I'll spare you the detail, but it's helpful. But buoys can also not only mark out the harbor, they can also mark out danger spots. They'll put a buoy, specific types of buoys, right above a shipwreck so that you don't bottom out, you scrape up the hull of the ship, or maybe a submerged iceberg that could cause problems. And so buoys, in many ways, you can see why they would be so critical for navigation out there in the open waters, especially at night when you can't see a whole lot out there. And I think about that because sometimes navigating life, navigating decisions can feel like open water. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, I don't even know which way to go? I mean, it just feels like open water all around me. You know, in life, we have to make all kinds of decisions, don't we? I was looking this up and doing a little bit of research on this. Guess how many decisions, conscious decisions that we make just in any given day? How many of you want to throw out a number? How many? 100. 1,000. A million. Oh my goodness. Well, it's somewhere between 100 and 1,000,000, okay? And this is true because I looked it up on Google, and Google never lies. We make 35,000 conscious decisions every day. Isn't that incredible? 35,000 decisions. Now, some of these decisions are pretty simple and straightforward, like, you know, should I brush my teeth today? The answer is always yes. Right, kids? Yes. You should brush your teeth today. As Christians, there's a lot of decisions that are just pretty straightforward in Scripture, right? Like, you know, should I love my neighbor? Should I avoid, you know, sin? Should I make sure I don't lose my temper? The answer to these is always yes. You should make sure you obey explicitly what God's word says. But there's a whole lot of other decisions that feel much more like open water, that aren't so straightforward, that are a bit gray. Questions that some of you might have right now. Should I get married? Should I date? Who should I marry? Should I join this church or that church? Should I take this job or pursue that kind of career? Should I take this major? Should I try out for this sport? Should I have these friends? Should I buy this house or rent? And all kinds of questions. And a lot of times the questions aren't just yes or no questions. They're questions of timing, right? Or questions of how we go about something, you know? Like, when should I make this change in my life? When should I retire? When should I have this difficult conversation? How should I approach a difficult health decision? Difficult financial decision? And we could go on and on. For some of you, I'm making you anxious right now. And you said, I didn't want to feel anxious when I came into church. I have to make those decisions when I go home. But listen, God hasn't left us just sort of out in these open waters, flailing around. God has given us buoys, if you would, out in the open water to help us make decisions, to help us navigate life's decisions wisely so that we don't shipwreck our lives, so we don't get off course and go in a completely wrong direction than God might have for us. And we want to look at an anchor, kind of pun intended, verse Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of us have memorized this. Some of you, it's going to sound familiar if you, when we hear it. This verse really helps us begin to navigate this conversation. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here's what Solomon says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, or acknowledge him, your version might say. And he will direct your paths or make your paths straight. All right? Some of us have memorized this. What does this mean? What does it mean? I want to help you understand how this means, what this means, okay? There we go. Okay, now, I need a couple of volunteers. Let's see, I'm looking for some specific. Terrence, can you come on up here? I need you. Can you just write down here? Let's see, you just got voluntold. Okay, Creighton, no, don't come up here. You just come down here. Just come down. Creighton, come on over here. I think I could do this with two. Yeah. Maybe somebody that's young. Yeah, come on up here. Jeremiah, come on down, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. See, he just wanted to do this so he could run and see the hair wave and just look so studly. All right, now, guys, I need you to put out your arms just like this. Okay, Terrence, you're going to come right down here, okay? You guys look strong, okay? I'm feeling pretty good about this. You guys feeling pretty good about this? No? Okay, here we go. Ready? You guys ready? Here we go. Okay. Ready? Countdown. 1, 2... I'm not going to do that. Are you guys crazy? You guys are crazy. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm not crazy. I know you. Some of you thought, what has this guy got himself into? He's just young enough to do that. Now, I did that to tell you something about what trust means, of what leaning on God is all about. See, sometimes we say, yeah, God, I trust you. I trust you. But I'm not willing to actually make the leap in with my life. I'm not willing to really go both feet. I'm not really willing to go all in. When the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's not just our heart. The heart is all your being. It's the totality of your being. When he says do not lean on your own understanding, that Hebrew word lean actually means to rest upon or put your full weight upon the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding, but lean into the Lord. And this is what it's like. This is what it means to trust the Lord with your life, to make him the authority of your life, to say, hey, you are God and I am not. You know better than I do. I have reason to trust you with every area of my life. See, this is the key verse to understanding what it means to allow God to navigate your life. Now, what does this look like practically? What are some ways, what are some of the buoys, if you would, that God uses to help us navigate decisions wisely? I want to give you 5 buoys from the Proverbs to help us make wise decisions. 5 buoys. These are good to write down and go back and look at these verses. I'll look them up later this week. Buoy number 1, the foundation, and this is, by the way, the most important of these, the foundation of God's revealed will. The foundation of God's revealed will. How does God reveal his will? Primarily through the Bible, through his revealed word, through the scriptures. This is what Proverbs 8 says. God is speaking wisdom into us and saying, listen to my words. Listen to what he says, verse 33. Listen to my instruction. Be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life, and they receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. What God is saying is, hey, I've revealed my will to you. Seek out my will. Seek out instruction for your life. If you do, it will guide you. It'll guide you in decisions. But if you fail to do it, if you just say, man, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not going to seek the Lord. Man, you are inviting harm into your life. You are inviting risk into your life. What What Solomon says is you're inviting death into your life. See, God has revealed so much of what he wants you to do in life in Scripture. I think sometimes we want to know God's will in the gray areas, but we're not really willing to follow him in what he has revealed explicitly. Are we submitting to what he has clearly said before we're so concerned about those gray areas in our life? I think God has revealed like 95% of what he wants us to do in this life, right here. And that other 5%, man, if we're trusting him in the 95, guess what? He'll guide us and give us principles for the other 5% of life. Are you trusting him? So the question that we need to ask is, what biblical principles should inform my decisions when it's not so clear? See, sometimes God will give you principles from his word, maybe not explicitly, but principles from his word that would guide us in our decisions. In other words, the Bible isn't going to tell you whether or not you should marry your girlfriend, but it will tell you what to look for. It'll tell you to look for a woman of character and inner beauty, Proverbs 31, to look for somebody who knows the Lord, 1 Corinthians 7:39, to find somebody who laughs at your jokes, 1 Nate Keeler 6:5, right? It'll help you to identify these principles in the Word of God. The Bible isn't going to tell you whether you should leave this job and pursue that other one, but it will tell you, Colossians 3:23, to work hard at whatever you do as unto the Lord. So if you're in a job right now, don't be lazy and start thinking about your next job and kind of slacking off in your current one, it says. And it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatever you do, you should work not to the glory of your boss or your own glory, but you should work to the glory of God. Proverbs 10:9, it talks about making sure your career is a career that's pursuing God's integrity, that you're not in a career that's kind of shady, right? So look for something that is reflective of God's values, that aligns with God's values. So what biblical principles should inform my decision? Buoy number one. Buoy number two, the counsel of the Holy Spirit. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to cross-examine our hearts. You know, one of the mottos in our current pop culture that you hear all the time, you'll see it on social media, you'll see it as advice given, is follow your heart. Follow your heart. You're going to hear it in pop songs. You know, back in the 80s, remember the Roxette song, Listen to Your Heart? Don't act like you don't know that song. You know that song. You probably sing it out loud when you hear it come on in your car. Listen to your heart. Or maybe more recently, Selena Gomez, The Heart Wants What It Wants. See, here's the problem with this advice. It's bad. Okay? It's bad advice. Here's what Proverbs 16 says. Verse 1, to humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. In all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And so commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. You know what Solomon is saying to us? He's saying our hearts can be deceptive, can't they? Our hearts, when we say follow our heart, often when we say follow our heart, it's a code word for follow your own selfishness. Follow your own lust. Follow your own greed. Follow your own revenge. Follow your own pride. I mean, it's a code word for all the things, all the idols that we shove into our hearts. See, we can't blindly follow our hearts. That's a recipe to shipwreck your life fast. Instead, what this proverb says is that we should be weighing our hearts, weighing our motives and our desires on God's scales. Now, if you're a Christian, it means that God has given you the Holy Spirit, and one of the key roles of the Holy Spirit is to do just that, to weigh our hearts. Jesus says in John 16, when he's leaving, he's saying, I'm going to provide for you the counselor, the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He's the one who guides us in truth. See, we can fool ourselves. We can try to deceive ourselves. In fact, a lot of times we can deceive other people. Can't deceive the Holy Spirit. He knows what's really going on in our hearts. And so we need to invite him into that process. Just as David did in Psalm 139, test me, O Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Know my anxious thoughts. You know, when I'm trying to make a decision, I'll do some prinking. Praying and thinking. Prinking. Okay? And what that looks like for me is I'll go on a prayer walk. I'll just start walking and talking out loud. I say, God, man, I don't know. I think this is what I want. I think this is what you want me to do. But I don't really know because I can deceive myself. And Lord, would you test my thoughts? And I'll talk and then I'll listen. I'll tell them what I want and then I'll submit myself in silence. And sometimes if it's taking a little while, I'll do another lap around the neighborhood, right? And just try to listen and see, God, test me. And so the question to ask here, the question is, have I asked the Spirit to examine the motives of my heart? Have I asked the Spirit to examine my motives? That's the second buoy. Buoy number three, the tutor of past experience. Proverbs 14:8. Here's what Solomon says. The wisdom of the prudent is to give careful thought, to give thought to their ways. But the folly of fools is deception. Here Solomon says that the prudent person gives thought to their ways. Now the Hebrew word ways is the term for well-worn paths. Paths that are constantly taken. Patterns of our life. This is what Solomon's saying. The wise person considers, she evaluates the patterns of your life. Think about the patterns of your life. The prudent person sees a connection between the patterns of your life and your present circumstances. That's a prudent person. They see the connection between your past and your present, and that your present is probably the best indicator of your future. All of life is connected, and the prudent person puts those things together and said, wow, you know, the last three or four times I did this way, it didn't go so well. So maybe I should think about a new way of doing it. Maybe I need to consider if God would want me to do something different. That's the prudent person. The fool, in contrast, it says what? The folly of the fools is deception. Particularly, I think he's talking about self-deception. See, the fool does not see the connection between their past patterns and their current circumstances. See, they think, oh, that was somebody else's fault. Something else happened. Man, that wasn't me. They try to find some other excuse other than, hey, man, the last five times I've done this, it hasn't gone so well. I might as well just keep doing the same thing. That's the fool. And over again, they don't pay attention to the patterns of their life. See, we are really good at deceiving ourselves. We are really good at convincing ourselves and self-talking ourselves into some bad choices. Every addiction, every habit, every bad decision starts with self-deception. Some lie that we are believing or telling ourselves. I can stop whenever I want. This isn't a big deal. God doesn't really care about this. God wants me to be happy. No one will really ever know. This isn't going to hurt anyone. And other lies. And we make Proverbs 26:11 true in our life. Just as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. This is just what we do. See, there's a myth out there that wisdom equals experience, but that's not true. See, wisdom can equal foolishness if it's continually repeated. Experience can equal foolishness if it's continued to be repeated. Instead, wisdom, better equation, is wisdom equals evaluated experience. Consideration of our paths. So listen, if you keep quitting the job after every year or 2 years or 3 years, thinking that next one's going to be better and the next one stinks, right? And just over and over again. Or maybe you're in a career and you just can't get along with people and so you go to a new one and you can't get along with them. Maybe the common denominator is you in that circumstance. Evaluate. Think about it. If you're moving from city to city or relationship to relationship, have you stopped to evaluate that? If in your marriage, the last time you responded that way, it didn't go so well. Maybe you want to think about a new way of responding next time. if the last time you really didn't, you know, study for the test so well and it didn't go so well, maybe you should think about studying for it next time. This is evaluated experience. Hey, if the last time you made an investment, it didn't work out, and the kind of investment that you were in, maybe you should think about a different kind. If you're thinking about leaving one church to go to another church and it just didn't work and you're on that cycle, maybe you should evaluate this. For some of us, we need to deal with that baggage that is stopping us from moving forward. So the question here is to ask, in light of my past experience, what lessons have I learned? In light of my past experiences, what lessons have I learned that I need to apply in this next time around? That's buoy number three. Number four, the clarity of time. The clarity of time. Proverbs 19:2 says, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more hasty feet miss the way? Proverbs talks a lot about this hastiness. Proverbs 21:5 says it this way, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, let's be in the trust tree together, okay? Let's all trust each other here. Raise your hands. How many of you ever regret a decision you made in haste? Raise your hands. You ever regret a decision? Look at all those hands. Wow. Okay, now turn to your neighbor and tell them your biggest regret that you've ever made in life. No, I'm just kidding, don't you? Many of you regret that decision, don't you? Or a few decisions. Now, if you were young, look around at all those hands and say, hey, they regret a hasty decision. Salespeople know this. Salespeople, some have made their career in the fact that people are often hasty. Have you ever gone, you know, buy a car, or you go to buy a mattress or whatever it is that you're trying to buy, and you go in, and you meet with the salesperson, and they're talking to him, and they say, hey, listen, I haven't given this offer to anyone else, but I really like you, and here's the offer, and they kind of slip it across the table. My manager hasn't even authorized this yet, but I'm giving it to you. Now, listen, if you get up out of that chair and you walk out that door, the offer is off the table. You are never going to get it again. You ever go through that experience? Now, why do they do that? Because it works. There's a lot of people that approach life that way. Man, I this is the best deal that's ever come around. I better jump on this thing. They make money off of it. Some of us have a bad case of FOMO. You all know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. Okay? Some of us think, man, if I don't act now, this opportunity is never going to come around. If I say no now, man, I'm never going to get another chance. And the reality is 99% of the time, it's just not true. This is what God's word says about being hasty. It just doesn't pay off. Have you gotten all the facts? Proverbs 18:17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until another comes along and examines him. Now, you think you've got it. Yeah, I've got all the information. Until another one comes and says, ooh, hold on. You might want to think differently about that. Have we gotten all the facts? You ever have the experience where you're looking to book a hotel or a timeshare? You're trying to maybe go down to the beach for a week or a weekend, go to a cabin, and you look at the pictures online. Man, it just looks amazing. So you book the place, and you get there, and it's just like carpets are super dirty and it's grungy and there's like a broken window and the door doesn't shut right and the AC makes this weird sound at night so you can't sleep. I know this because I've done it before, okay? And you're like, man, this is nothing like the pictures. That's when you are thankful for things like TripAdvisor, by the way, you know, that they show you the actual pictures. You know, this isn't the website picture. This is like my own experience. This is the bottom of my feet walking through this place. See, we need to ask questions. So when in doubt, wait. Fools rush in and fools rush out. They rush in and out of relationships, in and out of jobs, in and out of churches, in and out of investments. So the question to ask for this buoy is the pressure of time forcing you to make a premature decision? Is a sense of, man, I've got to do this immediately, is it forcing you to make a premature decision. That's buoy number four. And last buoy, buoy number five, is the honesty of community. The honesty of community. Proverbs say these kinds of things. Proverbs 11, 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Many advisors. Proverbs 15, 22 says this. Plans fail for lack of counsel. But here's that phrase again. Many advisors, they succeed. And we talk about this all the time. This is one of our values here as a church, is that we have been designed for community. We've been designed not to live in isolation. In fact, isolation has like a greenhouse effect on our weirdness. Okay? Isolation has a greenhouse effect. It makes it worse on our bad decisions, on our self-deception. When we operate alone, we get twisted, start to believe lies. So if you are somebody who doesn't have many people in their lives who know you and love you anyway, that's a problem in your life. That's an Achilles heel. That catches up to you. We want to be the kind of place, and hopefully we can be that for you if you don't have a place like that, where you have some brothers and sisters in Christ who know you, love you, praying for you, want to give you counsel, want to give you wisdom. We do that primarily through our small groups ministry. We also do that in our Christian ed ministry downstairs, in our community groups, through teams that serve together. But you find those people in your lives. Now, wisdom and direction for decisions is not just found in the number of advisors, but in the quality of advisors. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm." My boys and I, our family, were reading through the Proverbs right now, and we read this one recently, and I said to my boys, I was like, you know what this means? If your friends are a bunch of fools, when the bomb goes off in their life, you get hit with the shrapnel, okay? And so you avoid that kind of thing. Instead, walk with the wise, because the wise will help you to be more wise. They'll give you wise counsel. You can have lots of foolish advisors. And we all tend to want to surround ourselves with people who want to agree with us and justify our decisions and our opinions. But I would encourage you, what Scripture encourages you to do, is to get with people who know you. Get with people who will tell you the truth. Get with people who have lived longer than you. Now, for some of you, it might be hard to find people who have lived longer than you, okay? So find just people who live long. Study the Bible more, who study the Bible more than you. Find people who aren't afraid of you or intimidated by you. That's important. Find people who hold weight in your life, who hold spiritual authority in your life, a parent, a pastor, a small group leader, or a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a mentor. Bring these people, bring two or three or four of them into a room together and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about. Here's a decision I'm thinking about. Hear what they have to say. And if you do that, you are setting yourself up for success. Now, when they tell you something, listen. Proverbs 10:17 says, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So if everyone in the room, after you tell them something, they just seem uncomfortable with that. They seem uncomfortable with the direction that you're going. Don't think you're the exception to the rule. I'll be fine. They don't really know what they're talking about. It'll be different for me. My mom and dad were at the beach a number of years ago, and they go in September. They like to go, you know, when no one's around, right? And so they're down there, and there's no lifeguards or anything, and there's signs, warning signs all over the beach. You go down there at that time, warning signs. Warning, no lifeguard on duty. Swim at your own risk. Experts only. You know, be careful of the riptides. This will kill you, right? Ocean will kill you. Like, all these signs out there, and they're just hanging out on the beach. And my mom's just kind of wading in, like up to her knees or whatever, and sees these two gentlemen like way out in the water, and it's like, oh my goodness, this is not good. And so she just like takes off like Baywatch style. She's like 60 years old, like Baywatch style. She grabs the boogie board and she's swimming out there and she gets out to one of them, throws the boogie board toward the guy and starts swimming back. She was a swimmer, so she kind of pretty good at that. But the other one is just too far and she can't get out to him. And she's able to save the life of this one guy, but the other one drowned. The other one drowned right there on the beach. Why? They thought the rules don't apply to them. They did not heed the warning signs. Your friends who are godly counsel are like warning signs on the beach. Be careful. Do not think you're the exception. So here's the question. What is the collective counsel of my community? What is the collective counsel of my community? These are the five buoys to making wise decisions, navigating wise decisions from the book of Proverbs. One, the foundation of God's revealed will. Secondly, the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Listen, cross-examine your heart with what he has to say. The tutor of past experience, pay attention. Pay attention to the patterns of your life. Evaluate that experience. Number four, the clarity of time. Don't be hasty. Fools rush in and fools rush out. Fifthly, the honesty of community. Surround yourselves with wise, godly advisors and listen to them. Now, all of this is anchored in and comes back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let me read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. What happened if a captain of a ship just said, you know what? Forget the buoys. I know what to do. I've been doing this long enough. Yeah, I don't even trust those buoys. I'm going to, you know, go into the harbor on my own. Well, he'd be putting himself and his crew and the cargo in great danger, would he not? Some of us today are in danger because we think we know better than God's buoys. Some of us are in danger of shipwrecking our life or messing things up and ruining other people's lives around us because we think we know better. Many Christians are willing to trust their entire eternity to God, but not willing to trust their today to God. Are you in danger of that? Does God know better than you for your life? You say, but I'm just tired of waiting. Listen, does God know better than you? I know scripture doesn't say, you know, says I probably shouldn't be with this guy, but I really love him. Does God know better than you? But I'm really scared, I'm really anxious. Does God know better than you? Jesus, when he was with his disciples toward the end of his life, end of his time on earth, his disciples were really anxious. They were really afraid, and they didn't know who to trust. Things were starting to get shaken up for them. And Jesus' words to them were this. In John 14, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. No, you're afraid. What were his next words? Trust in God. And trust also in me. I am trustworthy. Swan dive off the stage. I am worthy of your trust. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. But God, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? How are we going to find our way? Trust in me. Trust in me. Are we going to give over our trust to him, friends? Let's pray. Father, for some of us here today, the words that we need to hear are Jesus' words because we are anxious about our lives. Maybe for some of us, we are trusting our eternity into our own hands. We have set up our own buoys in life. And we think that just by a certain number of good works or following a certain philosophy of life, that we can make our way to eternity and we are trusting ourselves. Lord, would we turn from that and do what Jesus said. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through him. That we would turn from ourselves and follow his plan. Trust him with our lives. Not just part of our lives, our intellect, but our whole lives. Into the hands of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those of us that trust you with our eternity, but we're not trusting you with our today, would we examine our lives with these five buoys from your word? Would we have the courage to ask these questions? And Lord, maybe there are people here today where this is the reason you have him here with us today. Maybe they're visiting today, and this is the very reason you had them visit today. Would you speak into their lives and the decisions that they need to make in life? Lord, now we turn our attention to giving. Lord, for some of us, the biggest area that we don't trust you with is our finances. Lord, maybe today is a day we just say as a token of our way of saying, I trust you with it, that we'd be willing to give sacrificially and generously and with the pure motives in our hearts, trusting you with our finances and our lives. And would you use what is collected for your purposes to share the gospel in our community, to share Christ, help people know him and follow him in our lives, and serve our community around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.